Heavenly Father, we worship you. Lord, we come to your presence confessing our sins and we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life.
Truly our hands are lifted up
in submission, Lord, and in total absolute dependence on you. And so, Father, as we go into your word this evening, it is your word. So I ask that, Lord, you will have mercy on me. Lord, I submit my mouth, my faculties, my mind, everything that I am, Lord, and every my preparation, I bring it down to your feet and I ask for mercy, that you will breathe upon it, Lord God, and use it, Lord, as you will, by your anointing and your power under the covering of my fathers, that you will anoint my heart and my lips. So I will speak, Lord, like an oracle of God. And Lord, you will cause your words to flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring life. Let it bring strength. Let it bring light. And let it bring courage. Helping us, Lord, to stand. Having done all to stand and to press, to lay hold upon the promises you have set before us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, Lord God, it will go forth with power, with clarity, with purity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. And it will accomplish an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So that, Father, we will not be the same again. But Lord, you will upgrade us to a new walk in you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to redeem the time, to be concise, to be precise, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to follow his leadings all through. I give you full sway, Lord Holy Spirit. Come and take full control. And come and help me, Lord, to follow you, even as you lead me, so that in this time, as we sit at your feet, glory will go to the name of Jesus, and blessings will be embedded and deposited in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm really looking to God to have mercy on us today. Amen. God has to have mercy on us. Amen. He always has mercy. Amen. Amen. I have a word this evening. I hope it's a short word. That is entitled Perfecting Obedience by Fear and Love. Perfecting obedience by fear and by love. We're in a season when God is perfecting holiness, obedience in his church, in the fear of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You need to really be quick. Thank you. Let's read together, brethren. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This scripture is a landmark scripture. It's telling us that it is possible to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. All is an operative word there. Let's say all. Not some, not most, not majority, but all. All in the fear of God. So the fear of God is a propelling force that allows that process of perfection to begin and then takes it on to its very end. And the very end of it is when we perfect obedience in the fear of God. I put it to you, brethren, that we'll perfect obedience until the glory comes. And then when the glory has come, we'll keep perfecting obedience until we become like Christ in all ways, as we are tested and found without sin. And we'll still be perfecting. So there is no end to this. We are perfecting obedience continually. So we're not doing it until we get the glory and then we stop after we get the glory. When we get the glory, we face a whole new set of challenges. And we obey our way through it all. Amen. So obedience is a force that is going to take us to the very end. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. Pastor has taught us very well. He has showed us that the manifestation of the sons of God will deliver mankind from satanic bondage
through the sin nature and demonic oppression. Let's look at 1 John 3:8. Just put some scripture behind this. The Bible says, no, for this cause was the Son of God manifested. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. Thank you. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God what? Manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this is the purpose that we are living for now. We are as sons of God. This is talking about the Son of God. It's also talking about you and I. Amen. Under covering of our spiritual fathers. That we are also going to manifest, and that manifestation will destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 21. And this is that scripture that we must have in our hearts. We keep meditating on them, because it lets you know that you're not any ordinary person. Amen. Romans says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. It's a clear word, and scripture cannot be broken. Shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or the sons of God. Amen. So we see that we are deliverers come from Mount Zion. Amen. That's who we are. And the effect of this is twofold. First of all, God will be glorified in our lives. Amen. And that's like it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. When that Christian shall come to be glorified in his saints. So as we demonstrate that glory, God is going to be glorified through our lives. Amen. Like he was glorified Jesus. But at the same time, it will attract persecution that we must and need will must needs overcome. Pastor showed us that panoramic description of the seven events that are really set to happen now. Talking about, you know, the signs of the end time. Talking about the perfection of the church. Then the tribulation of the church that the church will overcome. The persecution of the church that the church will overcome. You know, and then be raptured. And then talking about the tribulation of the rest of the world that is left that doesn't make that, you know, and all that. He gave us those seven lovely things. It was even colorful. And they posted it on the WhatsApp chat and they put it up in church. Beautiful. That's where I've gotten this. So I give glory and honor to the fathers. Amen. But, you know, the key here is that persecution is coming. And if you have sensed it, brethren, it's already in the air. There is if you profess your faith, people say that it's inconvenient, you know, that you are, if you say what the Bible says, people say you are intolerant. If you say that what the Bible says, that marriage is between a man and a woman, people say you are intolerant. No, if now, even conservative societies are being infiltrated surreptitiously, you know, by the power of the devil in the air. You know, controlling the minds of men, so that even in India now they legalize gay marriage. As conservative as India is a sign of the end time. Do you understand? We can all, and you can even amongst yourselves. I mean, if you're at a party and they are playing music and people are dancing and you talk about God, people look at you and say, which one? Oh boy, are you trying to be over spiritual? Am I lying? You know, there is this concept that God is supposed to be reserved for certain areas. True of us. No, certain times that are acceptable. We shouldn't bring God into everything. Why not? You know, we are the salt of the earth. And it is by putting more of God into the earth that the state of the earth will be prolonged. In the eyes of God. Amen. The Bible says that the state of the city is pleasant, but the water is not and barren. It is when we start speaking out those words and releasing the life of God and living the life and saying the words and living the life and saying the words that we're going to sanitize the entire atmosphere and change the configuration so that when you talk about unrighteousness, it looks very odd. Right now, when you talk about godliness, you're looking odd. No, and them that have made themselves a prey. But God's going to change it. Amen. Amen. As we walk with God and as glory manifests, we're going to reconfigure the heavenlies so that all unrighteousness will have no place. Pubs will shut down. Amen. Sin houses will shut down. The same type of revival, yea, greater. Greater works will be done. And this is what God is about. This is what God is doing. And God wants us to have a vision and have our eyes set on what is happening so that we're not ignorant. Look at Matthew 24, verse 10 to 13. Just very quickly. So as the glory manifests, this will also go on at the same time. It says, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Next verse. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. How come? The glory is there on one hand, yet people will go the other way deliberately. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is where your name is. Amen. Amen. We are going to endure unto the end. Amen. Amen. And our name, we shall be saved. Amen. So as we await the manifestation of the glory, we must also grow in the fear of God, as well as the love of God. Amen. We must grow both in fear and in love, because we need both. We need fear to perfect love. We need fear to perfect love. So if you're not growing in the fear, guess what? You know, we're doing all the things that need to be perfected, but if that fear is not there, it will not be perfect. Remember what Jesus, look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Give it to me, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, just as we go on. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 5 verse 7. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you. Let's read together. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had what? Offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Why didn't he stop there? He was doing everything he needed to do to be saved. But guess what? He was heard in that he... Verse 8. Amen. He was heard in that he feared. So fear of God is a tangible thing that is recognized in the spirit realm. Look at the effect. Verse 8. Though he were a son, that same fear, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So fear of God is at the base of it all, producing obedience as we walk in faith and love. Amen. And that propels us into the glory and beyond, into the fulfillment of our destiny. Amen. That's why in Matthew 10, it's important to see what the Lord said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 10. Thank you. Let's read together. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's the correct description for the day we are living in now. We are sheep where? In the midst of wolves. Okay? Be therefore wise as serpents and... So it's talking about the wisdom of God, okay? Which also comes by the fear of God. We'll see that as we go along, okay? Next verse. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So God is warning us ahead of time that there is going to be opposition. Amen? So you need to be prepared, not to be afraid, but just to be prepared. So that you don't wander into it and wonder, you took me by surprise. Amen? Let's jump to verse 24. Verse 24 and 25. Say, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Next verse. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? What's he saying there? He said, no, look, be like me. Aim to be like me. Let your eyes be on me. Amen. No, you cannot be above me. Look to me for inspiration. Look to me for wisdom. Look to me for strength, but look to me. Don't let your eyes be all over the place. No, you are walking exactly after the path that I walked. It's a great honor. No other honor. No, that power that compares to actually walk the same path as Jesus walked spiritually. All right? And that's what he's saying. So keep your eyes on me is what he's saying. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Just to bring that out. So it says, looking unto Jesus, the who? Author and finisher. So as you look to him, that is how our faith is being finished and perfected. Amen? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we're going to the throne of God. We're also going to have to endure the cross. We're also going to have to despise shame. And the shame is coming from men. It's coming from what happens in the eyes of men. That's what God is saying. All right, no, verse 26 to 30. Back to Matthew now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew 10. Let's read it together, everybody. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Next verse. What I tell you in darkness, that what? Speak in the light. Don't be afraid of them. What you hear in the air, that what? Preach you upon the housetops. If that's as he instructs, as it is, as you see, because you have to walk with him. Amen. Next verse. And fear not them which kill the body. He's preparing our minds. But are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Next verse. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. Next verse. But the very hair on your head are all numbered. What is God saying? God is saying, I've got your back. Amen. Nothing can happen without my knowledge and without my consent. So just walk with me. Keep your eyes on me. And I will take you through the valley of the shadow of death. And you'll come out on the other side. Amen. That's what God is saying. So don't be afraid to do whatever I ask you to do. You know, don't be afraid to say whatever I ask you to say. You know, walk with me and follow me, and I will help you to fulfill your destiny the same way I helped Jesus. Amen. And that's what God is saying to us. Now I know also that, of course, you know, in the church, apart from what the devil is doing by the power of the devil in the air, there's also, you know, the fact that many times in the church, Christians, you know, like us, we allow the name of God to be blasphemed. The same way when Nathan told David in 2 Samuel chapter 2, chapter 12 verse 14, says, because of what you have done, you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You know, so, you know, all this is working, you know, to sort of, so when you say you're a Christian, people snigger and say, is it this type of people that do this? You know, I mean, some things you see on WhatsApp, some other one the other day, you know, just shake your head. And is this a church? They were playing, you know, pop and funk songs. They were playing pop songs in church. You know, it grieves you that, and people were shouting. There were many, and they were shouting. And wonder, where is Jesus in all of this? So when you see those kind of things, you know, it sort of makes you, my Christian is not like that one. So we tend to keep quiet. And it's a type of timidity, really. You know, we allow ourselves to be intimidated. But the Bible says that it ought not to be so. You know, because this now makes us reluctant to profess our faith openly. Instead, our light should shine. The Bible says we should be an example, not to all believers, to also the rest of the world. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. We ought to be an example. And brethren, this is message to us that we will lift up our head. You know, and stop, in the name of being respectable, stop holding back on your faith. You know, that's the word, sir. Don't be apologetic about your faith. Be bold about it. We're Christian. Oh, please, let's pray. I know we have a science project, but let's pray. You know, and let's ask God for wisdom for the science project. And nothing wrong with that. That's God's going to help us finish first. And finish excellently well. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. So there's a tendency for men to despise or think less of you because of the God that you serve. That's it. You know, they despise or think less of you, but be an example, a what? Pattern for believers. How? In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, an impurity. Remember, those last four are very important. They're, everything is important. You know, but you know, if you are doing it in speech and you don't have it in conduct, you don't have it in love, you don't have it in faith and purity, then, brethren, these things ought not to be so. The equation has to be balanced. So you walk from inside out. It's in faith, in purity, in love, in conduct, and then in speech. And speak out when you need to speak out. Amen. This is the day of intense spiritual warfare. It's the day of warfare. And when we say warfare, of course, we've been well taught. So we know we're not warring against flesh and blood. But having overcome the wicked spirits in heaven places and subdued the flesh and the carnal mind, it now behoves us to also live out a life that emulates Christ. Amen. And exemplifies Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ didn't do what people expected him to do. He took a cords. He made out of cords he put cords together and used to beat people out of the temple. His father did not build the temple. His natural father Joseph could not afford to build the temple. Well, maybe couldn't afford even a special seat in the temple. But he went and picked up a scourge of cords and beat every single body that was sent up, beat them out of the temple. I mean, people would have the kilonche. People just pack them and ran away, you know. But imagine the boldness, the zeal, the courage. And he wasn't afraid. I'm sure if people decided to, you know what, we talk about rushing someone. But if people rushed him as a group, they could have dealt with him now. Why didn't they do that? Because there were angels with him. So angels will be with you. When you are obeying, the key here is about walking with God and obeying him. You understand? But at the same time, not allowing ourselves to be intimidated over our faith. Amen? So not only we will, and how we're going to do it is we're going to put on the battle, our armor of love. Amen? All right? That's how we're going to do it. It's that armor of love that causes us to stand, having done all to stand. Amen? And then not only do we stand, we then advance to establish his kingdom. So the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. So is that same zeal will eat us up. But remember, this is a spiritual force. It's the force of love that is propelling our thoughts, propelling our actions, propelling our faith, propelling our conduct. It's a force, and that force must keep increasing. And it's also the force of the fear of God, working in the love of God, helping us, Lord, to helping us to fulfill all that God wants. So we must keep growing in divine love until we perfect it. And that's the way we're going to do it in Hebrews chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 said it. Hebrews also said it. You know, where it says that we cleanse up that nature of sin. Because that sin nature is the basis of the fear. The fear is there because of the sin nature that is there. So as you cleanse out the sin nature, you perfect obedience. You perfect love. In place of that, and fear has no place in love. Amen. That's the will of God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Let's read together, brethren. In this union and communion with him. You see what I'm talking about? Walking with God. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. No matter what the devil has said is going to happen in that day, no matter what the negative things you read about that day, your portion, it's our day of glory. It's our day of light. The Bible says the day of darkness and gloominess, but also says that it's also a day of light, that we should arise and shine. So I'm going to choose the light and not the darkness. Amen? All right? So for the day of judgment, with what? Assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's where the fear comes in. Fear means I choose to believe what God has said. in spite of what I see, in spite of what people say, in spite of what I experience, let God be true and let man be liar. So there, and as I, with that attitude is how I go beyond the veil. I now make that word a reality in my experience. Next verse, verse 18. There is no fear where? In love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. It's that kind of confidence that Jesus had when they were taking him to the brow of the hill. When they forced him to the brow of the hill. And as they were falling, and when he got to that point, and all the while in union and communion with God. And when God said, turn around, and he turned around, and everybody fell down. We must keep our eyes on God in all situations and all circumstances. Amen. And not allow terror to come in. And when we do that, the love that we're walking in expels traces of terror, expels fear out of his doors. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. He is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So brethren, we must grow into love's complete perfection. That's what God is telling us. Amen. And grow into it we will in Jesus' name. So we just don't stop. We forget the things that are past. We reach for the things that are before. We press toward the mark. That mark of completion. That 100% mark. That's where we're going to. So when, no matter when we pass 80, you look around and you say, we're so few. And when we want to get to 92, you're like, we're so few. That's not what you're looking at. You're looking at 100. You're looking at the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. We're looking at the standard that God has set. And not how many people will believe what we believe. It's so important, brethren. It's a single-mindedness that is necessary to really walk this walk the way God wants us to. Amen. Now, why is this important? I've taken a bit of time to sort of beat that in. Trust the Holy Spirit has helped us. Now, why? Well, the thing is that, brethren, the fear of what people will say, the fear of failure, and supposing we don't make it, you know, the how it will look to people is a trap. It's a trap. It's like a bird in a cage. It limits our movement. You are moving, but your movement is restricted. It's governed by the person that has the key to the cage. But God wants to open the cage. Amen. And give us so that we can let ourselves out and we can soar above the clouds. Amen. All right, through prayer and all that. So that's what God wants to do. So look at Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man what? Bringeth a snare. Any fear that is of man is meant to bring a snare. Either you are fearing man or you're having fear for other things. Some people fear the dark. And some people fear insects, all these little things. No, all this fear. It brings a snare. You know, it puts you in a place that Satan can use against you. That's what the Bible is trying to say. And a very good example of this is Saul. Read the verse. Yes. Then the fear of man does what? Bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord. That's the corollary. Our confidence must always be in the Lord. That person shall be safe. Doesn't matter. It didn't say safe depending on the circumstances. It is a categorical statement. That person shall be safe. So this is how. So we go against that fear of man. Anytime you see yourself responding to the fear of man, you know, above the fear of God, you call yourself to order. You know, I know. So you're looking out for it because it's something you have to look out for and make sure that it's not there. Amen. You root it out. You cast it out. You throw it down. And then you build and plant the fear of God and the love of God inside. The Bible says, you know, that Noah moved with fear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. There are different types of fear. The fear of God is the key he's talking about. Look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, did what? Move with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He moved. So there's a propelling force. Fear. The fear of God. Okay, walking in the mix. That's what makes you obey. When you look around, for 120 years, this man was building an ark. 120 years. And who said, don't worry. No, he was building before you are born. He will build after you are born. Just leave him alone. Until one day. Come on, 120 years. I mean, people would have lived and died in 120 years. Lived and traveled. You travel, go and live in a place, come back. Huh? Oganua. Eshiwale Nukini. And that kind of thing. I've never seen that kind of rain before. And he said that there's rain coming. But he was moving with fear. That means that you can't afford to listen to the things you hear. Can't afford to looking at how many people are doing what we are doing. That's the word, sir. Don't let God reason don't let the devil or men reason you out of what God has said. Amen. That this word, Bible says, you shall be safe. So you put your trust in the Lord. That's the key. You shall be safe. Amen. It doesn't matter what's coming up in the end time, you shall be safe. That's your portion, and that's what you focus on, and that's what you put in your heart, deep in your heart. Amen. Look at what the fear of man does, the trap it does. Look at First Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. We know the story. Samuel is late. Saul is going to battle, and Samuel is supposed to come and offer the sacrifice, and Samuel is delayed in coming. So let's see Saul's reasoning. And Samuel said, let's read together. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me. That's the first thing. The people, they were not with me. They were against me. Next verse, next line. And that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines were gathered together. So there were three things. The fear of man was the principal one. And it took him off on a tangent. He should have had the fear of God. And then the honor for Samuel. That this is Samuel's place to offer this, not mine. But instead, he had the roles reversed. So it forced him. Look at the next verse. It forced him. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down. The devil. This is where the fear of the devil comes in. The Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I did what? Force myself. It's a force. The same propelling force that fear of God is the propelling force that makes you do the right thing. The fear of man is the propelling force that makes you do the wrong thing. Take a wrong turn. Make a wrong decision. That's what he did. And the opposite of that, brethren, is Daniel. Because we should balance it. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Verse 3. Daniel chapter 1 verse 3. Alright. The king told Ashpenaz, head of the palace, to get some Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Next verse. Young men who are healthy and handsome, intelligent and well educated. Sounds like you. Good prospects for leadership positions in government. Sounds like you. Perfect specimens. And indoctrinate them in the Babylonian language and the law of magic and fortune telling. Message is a good message. It's a good Bible. It gives you the message, doesn't it? The essence of that Babylonian food was to affect their thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the key is, Satan doesn't mind you becoming born again, so long as your thinking does not change. Once your thinking starts to change, and you start considering yourself a child of God, and you start understanding the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory by revelation, the exceeding greatness of his power that's available, you become, he doesn't like that. You become a threat. Next verse. The king then ordered that they be served the same menu as the royal table. The best food. The finest wine. After 3 years of training, they will be given positions in the king's court. Next verse. four young men from Judah, Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, Azariah, were among those selected. There were many of them. Their future had been planned by the devil. Yet, God had already planned a future for them separate. So sometimes you have to put your foot down and say, I'm not going that way. This is my destiny. Next verse. But Daniel determined that he would not defile himself by eating the king's food or drinking his wine. So he asked the head of the palace staff to exempt him from the royal diet. You have to put your foot down. It's the fear of God. It's very easy to say, so many people are doing it. We are in a foreign land. And they will kill me. But, you know, remember that it's in union and communion. Daniel had already had a relationship with God. And this is the key, brethren. He already was walking. So what looked like normal thing for everybody, it was difficult for him to do it because there was something in his conscience. That's why we must not take play with our relationship with God. No, work on it in this time of peace. Develop the fear of God in this time of peace. Amen. And let it increase so that by the time that you've already gone ahead, you are unstoppable in the fear of God in Jesus' name. All right. So we see that. Look at verse 12 to 15. Verses 12 to 15. Just as well. Say, so he made a first thing was he purposed in his heart. When the purpose was done, then God gave favor. Not before. He didn't see the favor and then he purposed his heart. He purposed in his heart, then the favor came. But then there's some steps that are going to come to us until you make up your mind and say, I'm not doing. Another alternative option will not open. That's why this fear thing is so important. That we must fear God, you know, and be ready to stand on what the word says or what God says or the instruction and oversight I've given us, you know, even though there are things to the contrary. Amen? All right. Okay, so verse 12. So it says, try us out for 10 days on a simple diet. We know they are next verse. Don't miss. Then compare to young men, make a decision on the basis of what you see. Told them. All right, next verse. Devil. God. All right. The steward agreed to do it and fed them with vegetables and water for 10 days. Next verse. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and more robust than all the others who had been eating from the royal menu. The finest wine. The best food. This is not, Gon Shoju Lason, it's not normal. It is supernatural. God, you will not see some mansion of the supernatural until you stretch yourself out. Take a risk in faith, in the fear of God, in obedience to God, and then God will move. That's what this teaches us. Okay? And they were more robust. Next verse, verse 16. So the steward continued to exempt them from the royal food, and as they were exempted, they were growing spiritually. They were growing spiritually. That was the end. That was the essence of it. They were growing in obedience. Yes, because it was a spiritual principle. Butter and honey shall ye eat, that they might learn to choose the good and refuse the evil. It's obedience. And look at the reward of obedience, verse 17. It's not just the eating of the vegetable alone. It is the fact that it is in obedience with the will and the word of God. That's what really made the difference. All right? Try eating vegetable. I'm sure you won't be fairer and fatter. So it doesn't work like that. It's the obedience behind it. And God gave these four men, that's reward, knowledge and skill in both books and life. Common sense. And then academic sense. Intellectual sense. Creativity. All right? In addition, Daniel was gifted in understanding all sorts of visions and dreams. Who said that serving God, you serve God for naught? Only the devil says that. We don't serve God for nothing. Once you go one step, God responds. The Bible says, he's restoring the years. The locust and the caterpillar and palm have taken. Amen? So as you walk in obedience, more is restored. As you walk in obedience, more is restored. That's why the Bible says, strong men retain riches. The Bible says, they obey and serve him. They spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. God responds to obedience. Okay? And it's the fear of God that takes us into that obedience. All right. So we see that very good example there. Now, so that's one reason why we shouldn't go the fear of man way. Because he's going to rob you of your, even if nothing negative happens, he's going to rob you of the reward that God would have given you if you had walked in obedience. Because many times you may not see something negative happen and you may think, oh, nothing happened. No. When, let me ask you a question. When Potiphar's wife reported Joseph, what was the end of her reporting? It was for him to be killed. In those days, a slave's life wasn't worth anything. Eh? You slept with what guys were, or they could have castrated him. Just think of a lawless society. They would have done it. They were barbaric in those days. They would have easily done it. So when you see him thrown into prison, it is the will of God in a situation where the devil meant for evil. You see God mitigating his favor. I dare say there are many of us here that should not be here today. Left to the devil. You will not be here today. And many of us here that we are here by, like we don't normally say, by the special grace of God. You are here today. You are breathing God's good air because God had mercy on you. Yes, I know you are not exactly in Pharaoh's palace yet. No, but the fact that you are alive, you are able to listen to the word of God. You are able to grow spiritually. You are able to have a family. God has done miracles to bring you here. They could have killed Joseph at the time they were sent, when they were going to, before they sold him to the Ishmaelites, the actual plan was to kill him. So selling to the Ishmaelites was God's default plan in that situation. That's why we have to be grateful for them. Look at what would have been without God. So we can be grateful. And then we can have a sense of destiny to where God is taking us. Amen. And you can look the same thing for Daniel. The same thing, the man would have died. When he said that all the wise men should be killed, and he said, excuse me, please, just give us one day. So, one day, care. He should be the first. They'll just throw a spear and pin him to the wall. He's gone. For them to even listen is the favor and the mercy of God in operation. For him to have the all night and not sleep, brethren. He didn't sleep, he was awake, and he got the revelation live and direct and brought it out. It's God. Amen. How many times does God intervene on our behalf? And we don't even know about it. I'm talking about the one that you can see and can understand. So when they say, give God the glory, give thanks to God, give you willingly do it. Because he's not the kind of person that does and says, I did this one. And come and, like Yoruba say, you know, I see Regun. I did it. Oh, yeah, be grateful to me for what I did. The main thing is God doesn't even talk about it. When we get to heaven, we will know all those ones. Don't worry. Just keep doing the will of God. So the key is to be obedient. The key, that's the only way you can make it worth God's while. And make it, okay, Lord, you didn't do it in vain. You didn't do it in vain. Even though I'm in a foreign land, I didn't do that. And God's master plan, hidden. He didn't tell anybody. But because Daniel was able to stand his ground and not bow to the pressure, God's plan began to be worked out. And God eventually ruled in that kingdom and brought his people back. Because of four boys and their obedience in the fear of God. Who said you have to be in the majority? Who said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil? God is never with the multitude, brethren. Certainly, I've never seen in this Bible where people are, God was with the multitude. Okay. Second thing, what's the fear of God? Because Pastor has taught us very well. The fear of God is an attitude of reverence. Okay, that attitude of reverence towards God that is based on two things: the certainty of his judgment if you disobey, and the security of his mercy when you obey. Now, what I want to also bring out, I believe that the Holy Spirit was sharing with us, is that it brings with it a growing consciousness of God, of his mercy, of his will, of his resources, of his ability. So you have a large heart. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. You're not afraid of it because you are living in that fear of God, you are obeying Him, there is a growing consciousness. So you are aware. It's a revelation inside that you have. You know that you have, just like Elisha, they were surrounded by an army and it was calm. And man said, sir, Oga. He said, don't worry, they are more for us. And the guy was still not, in the calmness of his master and the words, didn't seem to penetrate his anxiety. He said, you don't understand. They have weapons. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. Consciousness. Calm. Security. It's a security in the presence of God. In your presence, that is where I'm strong. You're cocooned in that presence. So the fear of God is an attitude. And as you keep exercising it, it brings with it the presence of God. Amen. All right. And that's important for us to see. Look at Psalm 16. It's a very popular scripture to us in this house. God has shown us. Give it to me in the King James. Thank you. Psalm 16 from verse 5. Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. No, I didn't ask you to give me HCSB. Thank you. God bless you. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. See, that's where we're going. So that He's my all. You know, your inheritance is everything you have. You're not going to sell that for a piece of pottage. So the Lord is my inheritance. Okay? And of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. Next verse. The lines are falling unto me where? In pleasant places. So it keeps falling in pleasant places. Even when unpleasant things come, God brings pleasantness out of unpleasant things. Because the lines are falling for you in pleasant places. There's a river of pleasantness flowing in your life. Amen. That's where you're drinking from. Yeah, have a goodly heritage. Next verse. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. These are the reins. It's this in this union and communion with God that you get instruction. Do this. Stand. Don't agree. Is it here? Next verse. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Something we have been taught to practice daily. You set it. So in those situations where you're under pressure, no. Like with the Yoruba say, Ori mi ti folo, that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. And so he said, when something happens suddenly, I lost all sense of who I really was. No, He's there, calm. Because you are walking, you know, when you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you reap eternal life. So when you walk in obedience, that obedience brings with it a presence. It does. So He's there. Even though there's a lot of shaking, there's a calm. It's the same thing when He was in the boat. He was sleeping and He woke up with calm. And with calm, He spoke to the wind. And all the people that were there, it's walking in the fear and walking in the love of God. It's perfecting it. Amen? All right, so let's finish this. Next verse. Verse 9. Therefore, I can't hear you. Therefore, my heart is permanent gladness. Consistent gladness. Amen. My glory rejoices or increaseth. Okay. My flesh also shall rest in hope. No, let's jump to verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In every situation, the path that is part of life, it may not look like, but if God says go this way, that's the path of life. And that's what the fear of God is. Amen? All right? Path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So that presence brings with it pleasures and joy. Amen? And keeps us. So that is very important. So we exercise that. We keep exercising that fear. You know, the certainty of His mercy. So you do it because I know it's difficult, it's hard, but out of it there's going to come mercy. Amen. And so you go ahead and do it, you know, even though it's not easy. All right. And then number 3 is that the fear of God brings reward. Let me look at it from this. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 10. Oh, yes, I need to give you the verse. Thank you. The fear of the Lord is the what? beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is what? Understanding. So as we walk with God and fellowship with God, we begin to understand who God is and his ways. Knowledge of the holy. Okay? All right? Next. Give me Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we see that when we act and walk in the fear of God, God responds by giving us wisdom, giving us understanding, giving us knowledge. Now, those three things, brethren, are everything. Because the Bible says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Give it out to me in Isaiah 33 verse 6. When things are unstable and you choose to obey what God said, you will have stability. It will come out of it. Amen. Isaiah 33 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. That is, to the degree to which you escape, you know, is wisdom and knowledge. Okay. And the fear of the Lord is his what? Treasure. So this thing we're talking about is a treasure, as far as God is concerned. A treasure that is hidden in earthen vessels. And we must hide it and grow in it and increase it in our hearts. Amen? All right? The other thing is Psalm 24 verse 3. Psalm 24 verse 3. So it delivers, this is the reward of wisdom, of the fear of the Lord and love of God. It delivers you. And then, you see this, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Next verse. He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lived a soul vanity, and also on his next verse, verse 5. He shall receive blessing. Is it Psalm 5 or is it Psalm of Proverbs? Where it says that wisdom, by wisdom a house is built. Proverbs 24. I think it's Proverbs 24. This is not what I want. Proverbs 24, I believe, verse 3. 3. Thank you. Now, through wisdom is a house builded. No, the Bible says we are God's building. Our life is a house. So as you walk in the wisdom of God, by the fear and the love of God, you are building your house. You are building yourself as a house. Amen. And by understanding, our house is what? Established. Next verse. Verse 4. Thank you. And then by knowledge shall all the chambers of the house be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Look at that word pleasant there again. Amen. Talking about pleasant. What's he talking about? He's talking about the spirit without measure. Yes, in the soul. The redemption of the brain. Amen. Incredible mathematical skills. Incredible artistic ability. Incredible musical skills. You know, all these things are pleasant, but you must build the house. And then it must be established. So it goes deep, deep, deep. So that when the glory comes, it will not move you. You will not be shaken. And don't say you cannot be shaken. Solomon's glory shook him. Uzziah's success shook him. So be careful when you say you think you're ready. Keep growing in that fear. Keep growing in that love. There is a mark you must get to that it is think is permanent. The Bible says, by humility and by the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So there is a mark. So don't, as we grow, we allow God to be the one scoring us. We don't score ourselves. Amen. Let God score you. You know, because no, I don't know how you this work with God. You know, today in the morning you can get A, eh? And in the afternoon, if you are not very careful, you will get E, eh? E, and you will wonder, how did I go from A to E? Simple. You are not watching and praying. The success of the A entered your brain. So it tells you how very vulnerable the human nature can be. Small exaltation. You know,
You know, some that means when pepper goes the wrong way. You know, it's a small thing and it gets to us. You know, small thing gets to us. But God is in this day establishing righteousness and purity to the extent where the thing is permanent. Then you're ready for the glory. Amen. Remember Jesus' silent years. 18 years. Doing what? No miracle. He was building, it was going, wisdom in house is built. Understanding is established. Going deep, deep, deep. But one day, the heavens opened. And then this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So this process is going on. Every time you act in obedience, this process is going on. You're building a house. You're establishing his roots. And you are preparing yourself, the chambers for the knowledge that God is bringing. Amen? How then do we do it? We've been well taught, so we're going to just round up. How do we do it? Seven pillars. It's everything we've been taught, the fear of God, is number one pillar. And that pillar remains number one. Amen. It's number one pillar. And it feeds back, you know, from the fear of God to prayer. But what I just want to bring out, thank you very much. Honesty and humility about the fear of God, okay? And it's something that we have to keep exercising. Keep exercising it, you know, deliberately and consciously. Knows that, like Pastor Boyga said at the beginning, there's some things that God just wants to emphasize, you know, and just so that our eyes can be on it, you know, so that at the time you need to make a decision, you go in the right direction, because it's in your mind, it's in your heart. Amen. All right. So that's important. We exercise ourselves in the fear of God, you know, to do what God said when it's convenient, you know, do what the Word says, okay? Do it the way God said. Do it in the time God said. Those three are the fear of God. Do what God said in the Word. Do it the way God said. And do it in the time God said. That's the fear, okay? And then, of course, when you talk about battle prayer and communion prayer, it's important to talk about the fact that we do it with the life of God. Amen? Because the life of God is the substance inside God that makes Him God. That substance is what God has given us. That's the only way we can fulfill or perfect the love of God, is by the continuous flow of the life of God. So it is that nature of the life of God that drives out the nature of sin, that removes the fear. Amen. So that's really key. Of course, binding the devil, you know, confessing the word, amen. And then meditation is also very, very important, you know, because it's what, you know, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we meditate. We allow the word to really sink in. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Where he says, I think in verse 15. Give that to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Talks about meditation. It says, meditate. Let's read together. Say, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly. But how can you give yourself wholly to what you have not meditated upon? So you have to meditate upon it and then give yourself holy. The give yourself holy is a consequence of the meditation. Amen. That thy profiting may appear to all. Our profiting will appear to all in Jesus' name. All right. And that's how we're going to save those that follow after us and our families and those that God has linked to us by the Spirit. Amen. All right. And then, of course, the final thing, seven pillars again. Thank you. Seven pillars. Thank you. And then the practicing of the word is very important. Of course, living a fasted life. That fear of God, the practice, praying with the life. You know, the way Pastor has taught us, you pray it, take it, say it, think it, do it. And then you become it. Amen. That's the will of God. So that's how we perfect obedience, by the fear and the love of God. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Perfect love casts out fear. So perfect that love by the life. That's why we keep praying, brethren. That's why we keep praying every hour, as often as we remember, at every opportunity, in every temptation. We're perfecting the love. And as the love is being perfected, fear
is being removed. And so, we deliver ourselves. The Bible says, all them through fear, but all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15. We deliver ourselves, then we deliver others from the fear of death. Growing consciousness of His presence, His mercy, His love, His resources brings security and growing obedience practice. Don't let Satan tell you to disobey and then go back and, Father, I confess my sins, He will forgive me. You've just missed the opportunity to get a reward. So obedience must be consistent. I fix my eyes on You, the author of my fear, casting aside every sin and every way. I fix my eyes on You, and I lay my burdens down, letting the cares of this world now fade away. Oh, one thing I ask is one thing I seek, that I may dwell in Your house, O Lord, my King. And all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon Your beauty and seek You in this holy place. Oh, my Lord, one thing I ask is one thing I see, that I may dwell in Your house, O Lord, my King. All the days of my life, I want to gaze upon Your beauty and seek You in this holy place.
Let's raise up our right hand in faith, our left hand on our heart. We endure as seeing He who is invisible, and we move with fear. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come to me tonight, showing me that it is Your will for me to move with the fear of God, to grow in the fear and the love of God, so that my obedience will be consistent, not inconsistent. Father, I ask for mercy to be faithful, to cultivate more of the fear of God, more honesty, more humility, a stronger consciousness of Your presence, of the pleasures in Your presence, of the mercy in Your presence, of the wisdom in Your presence, of the resources in Your presence. And by that same consciousness, be obedient unto death, so that as I obey, I will not be ashamed of You, and You also, when You come with Your glory, You will not be ashamed of me before men. Thank You, Father,
for helping me to be obedient and to learn obedience by the things that I suffer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jaka kokele rode ba 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 pa kan konga da ba ba ta to pas rapa katankos jepre ke ko ba pa kera rapa ka koko wa ba 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 pa kaso reso seke de bebe di kaka rapa ba 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 rapa ba 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 ka rapa ba 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 ka kan ko ba yo masa to pe kera rapa pa o ba ko wa barea baro kaka kange jepa ko ka samosa rapa ko to ba bebe pe rapa kaka koko ka ko ba 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 ko ka ko ka kaka Ropa kasoba sab, rosebo sobe, roba ba 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 ba, ba 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 poka, kango bako kwa pakata, zevale kaka, rodefa, rodefa, baroke, rodea, berana, rodenevesa, jafre, baro kaka, zeko bekatoba, meke ka boko tobika, robo kotebose, zeke koko bikala, belea, roba ba, bekeleveberia, krobere nanama. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pray and say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood.